Good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Psachim Yud Beis, Psachim 12a, pagination page 23, but we will start from the Mishnah on the facing page. So we're on Psachim Yud Aleph, Amud Beis 11b, pagination page 22, about 20 lines from the top, in the beginning of a line, Masnisin, a new Mishnah. The Mishnah, the Gemara, and the case which I hope to introduce from Choshen Mishpat deals with the concept of human error. The Mishnah is dealing with the case of eating chametz. How late can you still eat chametz on the day of the 14th of Nisan? Because we recognize that there's human error. A person might think it's one time, and in reality, it's a little bit later than he thinks. They used to tell time based on sundials, based on positioning of the sun. Even today, we know that people's watches are not all synchronized. A person has a watch, looks at it, he thinks it's the right time, and it is definitely common for people's watches to be a minute or two off. And I've seen charts of observance times, like how late can you eat before a fast day, etc., where they write on the bottom, Tzarech lahachmir beiz minutin, a person should be careful by 2 minutes to be more strict than what it actually says here. The time for Kriya Shema, the time to recite Shema in the morning, what's the latest time? If we do the calculation mathematically that you have to complete Shema by 9:12, because that is going to be a quarter of the day, you're supposed to be careful by 2 minutes simply because your watch might be off. Also, it's interesting, the calculations, the numbers that you're punching might also be slightly inaccurate. And they deal with seconds, they round up, they round down, you'll look at different charts. There's a certain amount of human error. So the case of eating chametz and burning chametz is actually a very bold human error assumption. And we deal with actually a full hour of discussion between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda as to how far we should go in being strict. But in any case, there is this concept that in addition to whatever protection we have not to violate chametz, in addition to that protection, there is a discussion here of human error, how far we should take the protection, 1 hour, 2 hours, etc. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, Ochlin kol chamesh, you can eat chametz 5 hours into the day, v'sorfim b'tchila shesh, in the beginning of the sixth hour, you have to start burning, in order that when the sixth hour is completed and you've hit midday, you're already taken care of. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, which is what we follow, Ochlin kol arba, you could eat the entire 4 hours. In our analogy that we gave in a previous session of a day that would be 6 to 6, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., perfectly symmetrical, and 12 is noon. So that would be until 10 o'clock you could eat. V'tolin kol chamesh, from 10 to 11 we wait. That's the time that we sell the chametz. V'sofim v'tchila shesh, and in the beginning of the sixth hour, which is 11 o'clock, in our analogy, you would start burning the chametz. Let's drop down to the last of the small lines where the Gemara makes this comparison of concern regarding human error and how many hours to be careful for regarding testimony. The Gemara says, middle of the last small line, Echad Omer B'Shtei Shos, if one of the Edim, the witnesses, says that it happened 2 hours into the day. Whatever it is he's saying testimony. He witnessed a murder, God forbid. 2 hours into the day, that's when it happened. Ve'echad omer b'shalosh shos, and one of the witnesses says, I saw it. I was with him. I was there. I saw it. We were together. I saw it at 3 hours into the day. It wasn't 2 hours into the day. Says the Gemara, Edusan Kayemes, that testimony is still good. Even though it sounds, it grates on the ears, it sounds like false testimony. How could it have happened at 2 hours into the day according to one and 3 hours according to the other? That's not a problem, because there's an inaccuracy in the way they recorded the time, and we agree that they indeed did see the same thing at the same time. They're just describing the time according to the way they perceived the time, and the human error explains it, and it's fine. Echad Omer b'shalosh ve'echad Omer b'chamesh, however, if one would say it was 3 hours into the day, and one would say 5 hours into the day, Edusim v'telo div Rav Meir says people don't make a mistake from 3 to 5. Rav Yehuda Omer Edusim Kayemes, Rav Yehuda says 3 to 5 is still acceptable. However, Echad Omer b'chamesh ve'echad Omer b'sheva, if one would say 5 hours into the day, and one would say 7 hours into the day, Edusim v'telo, it's not good testimony, even though it's only an error that's being described of 2 hours. Shevachamish chama b'mizrach of shevachama l'mayra, because midday is in the middle between 5 and 7, and people who are experienced in telling time from the sun would never make a mistake between 5 and 7, because the sun starts in the direction of setting after midday, and you would know the difference between that, and people would not make such a mistake. Let's move on to today's daf, where the Gemara poses a tremendous objection to applying this concept of human error to the cases of testimony. So we're on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, 12a, counting up from the wide lines, about 6 lines at the end of a line. Tanan we learned, Hayu bot kimosa b'sheva chakiros. All witnesses would be cross-examined with 7 specific questions, which we'll see is in addition to all the other cross-examination. And these 7 are Be'eza Shavua, which year of the Shemitah cycle, Be'eza Shana, and which cycle of Shemitah, and which actual year, Be'eza Chodesh, which month, V'kama B'chodesh, what day of the month, Be'eza Yom, what day of the week, Be'eza Sha'ah, and what hour, Be'eza Makom, where did it happen? Mabin Chakiros Lebedikos, what's the difference between these special 7 and all the other cross-examinations that could take place? What color jacket was he wearing? Was he wearing a watch? What kind of hat? All kinds of things you could come up with. You're allowed to cross-examine as much as you want. Make sure that these people are telling the truth. But Chakiros, these big 7, Omar Echad Meim Eini Yodea Edusim Betela. If one of them says, I don't know, then the testimony is thrown out. Bedikos, but the other cross-examination items, Afilu Shneim Omrim Einonu Yodim, even if they both say, we don't remember what color jacket he was wearing. Was it leather or plastic? We don't know. Edusan Kayemes, the testimony could still stand if we're convinced that they have enough information and we've cross-examined them that we know they're saying the truth. So what if they don't know what color shoelaces he was wearing, even though we might use that question to try to trip them up? Ve'avinon bo, and we asked, why are these 7 so special that they can't say, IDK, I don't know? Maishna chakiros and maishna bedikos, ve'amrinon, and we said, Chakiros, by these big 7, that's a mouthful, but what it means is, every person who says testimony has to leave himself open to hazama. Hazama is that new witnesses can come and say at the time that you claim you witnessed that event, that crime, you were with us, critical words, you were with us in a different place. And if that can be proven, then not only is their testimony off, because the second group of witnesses has disproven them, but we actually punish the witnesses with the punishment that they were trying to give their fellow. That concept of hazama is critical. When you present edus, a person has to leave himself open to the possibility that someone could say, Imanu heyisem, you were with us in a different place. And if a person can't answer these seven questions accurately, then no one will be able to say, you were with us in a different place at that time, because we haven't pinned down what time the testimony is referring to. Bedikos, but other cross-examination things, edus she'ata yachal hazimo, he still is an edus that you can make hazama on. V'i amrit, here's the clincher of the question, ta'i inch inish, that a person makes a mistake, kulai hai, of 2 hours, for example, it turns out that this testimony is also a testimony that cannot be disproven through Imanue Yisem, you were with us at that time, because you haven't pinned down the time. The Amri Mati Kotan Inon, if a person says it happened at 3 hours into the day, and someone says you were with us in a different place at 3 hours into the day, he'll say, oh, I was making a mistake, it was really 4 hours into the day. If you allow such a human error, then everything becomes impossible to do hazama on. And the Gemara answers, indeed, good question, diyavina lehukula tu usaihu, that we have to have the edus of Imanu Yisem, the edus of hazama, the testimony that's going to undo them through you were with us, has to cover the entire period of time of human error. So if they claim it happened at 3 o'clock, the testimony that you were with us would have to go before that time and after that time in a way that covers the human error in order to convict them of the crime of trying to punish someone else with something that they could not have possibly seen. Let's squeeze in one more thought. In Choshen Mishpat Resh Lamed Beis Sif Beis, there's also a discussion of human error. There's a case where a person counted out bills, and he gave you a little bit more than what he was supposed to. And there's a fascinating detective paragraph here, how to figure out whether the person was giving you a tip, a gift, etc., or he was simply making a mistake. And the sif here actually develops the possibility of human error, that if a person was counting out, let's say, $10 bills, and you ended up with one extra $10 bill, then we definitely assume human error, and you have to run after him and return it. But if you could conjure up a case where the extra money is there, not as human error, but there's extra money that doesn't make sense to have been a mistake. The average businessman never would make such a mistake. Clearly it was added something somehow to figure out that it's as extreme as being handed to in two envelopes with a big smile. But you have to figure out how that would work in counting out bills. But if you could, and you could ascertain that it was not human error, then you would have the right to assume in such a case where a tip, it makes sense that it was a tip. If, however, it was counting in a way where it's human error, then we definitely assume it's human error and it would have to be returned because it was his mistake. Yeshe koach, have a great day.